morning. Just say thank you for each one of you that have shared already. It was a rich blessing. And Zachary read in Isaiah this morning. I was thinking of the first verse in the next chapter. It says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment." Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Father, thank you again for this beautiful new day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful, rich truths that have been spoken this morning. Lord, bless each one that has shared this morning. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your word. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration it's been to my heart. The encouragement, Lord, to go on, to run this race with patience. Lord, and also to wait upon you, Lord. That in you, I'm going to find strength. I'm going to be renewed. Lord, thank you for these rich promises. Thank you for the promise of if we build on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, our house will never fail. Our spiritual lives will prosper. We will endure to the end. Even though, Lord, we are in a battlefield. We thank you, Lord, that you are on our side. We thank you, Lord, that you are our King. And that there is none other to lead us on to victory and to glory. So, Lord, this time I do pray, God, bless our time here in the Word some more. I pray, God, you give me clear thoughts that glorify you and edify your people here. Thank you, Lord, again for this rich opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just thinking, can we come before the Lord together and come near to judgment? Can we come and open our hearts and say, Lord, take a look in here? Or maybe we're at a place where we're asking God for wisdom. We need discernment. Can we come before the Lord and ask Him for that? I know we can. I know it's available to us, and I know that the Lord is on our side. He wants to show us all those things we have need of. Thank you again, brothers, for sharing. This morning, I just want to write something on the board real quick. Just a thought that has blessed me some time ago. And it's something I want us to remember. Something I want us to remember. That's something I'd like for us to just ponder and take with us as we go. You are not a victim, but rather you are in the school of God. That may make more sense to you as we go on. This morning, what I want to talk about is a sin that eats you alive. A sin that eats you alive. A sin that'll kill you. And this sin, it has roots. This sin, it spreads like cancer. This sin, it defiles others. And this sin, if you would have been in the time of Israel, in the Old Testament there, and it makes you unclean. And if you would have been pronounced unclean at that time, you'd have been put outside the camp. And this sin here will do that to you spiritually in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll put you outside the camp. This sin, as it eats you alive spiritually, you're no longer free. You're bound. Does anybody know the sin I'm talking about? Any thought come to your mind? Anyone? Bitterness. Yes, this sin has roots. This sin will kill you. It'll eat you up. Just think about this. As you think about this sin of bitterness, it reminds me, I was talking to my wife this morning. I asked her what these flowers are called. And I gave her a name for it, but that was from my childhood, so I think it was a little bit Dutch in it. But we concluded that they were called creeping phlox. You guys familiar with creeping phlox? A lot of you are, okay. So it's this plant that you can plant, and it spreads rapidly. And it stays pretty dense as it continues to take over an area. It really works good for erosion control and things like that. And they're actually pretty. But they have a root system that it spreads. They're shallow. The root system is a very fibery root system. So they're strong. Also, if you want to take some apart, you'll have a very difficult time separating this plant from that plant because they are so intertwined that when you pull this one out, you're actually pulling this one out because they're so connected. And so this sin is, or this plant, it's the roots are, they're strong and they're intentional. They go right where they need to go and they intertwine and they build together and hold themselves together. And I was thinking about bitterness in that way. The Strong's definition of bitterness says poison. Bitterness is a poison. It's an unforgiven anger, resentment that stems from deep hurt, a sense of injustice, or unresolved conflict. And I was going to read for a text this morning out of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to go further down in the chapter than where Joash was. But one verse that Joash read to us says, lay aside every weight and sin that besets us. And bitterness is a weight. It's a sin that will beset us. You will not run the race and endure to the end with bitterness in your heart. You won't be successful. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I guess what got me thinking about bitterness is some time ago, I was reflecting in my life. Because when a certain situation would come up, I felt this inside, this rising up inside. And I'd say, no, they did an injustice. That was wrong of them. But then as I continued to seek the Lord, I found that, and I was asking God if I'm bitter or if it's just trying to sort through that. And I come to the place where there was a little root of bitterness there. One that I just felt like, well, they'd done me wrong, so that's why that's there. But no, there was bitterness in my life. And, you know, one thing that Aaron read the scripture, Matthew 5 this morning, verse 11. Verse 11 in Matthew 5. I'm sorry, I can't quote it right now. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And we look at that as in time of persecution, right? When the kingdom of the devil is persecuting the church, right? Well, in one sense, yes, it is saying that. But I was just thinking, it actually doesn't say which camp, where that comes from. You know, I don't know, maybe none of you have ever loosely used your mouth and ever spoken ill about someone and then it hurt them. That's speaking evil. When men shall speak evil of you. We often think of it when this guy shows up with a gun or a knife and or this heathen guy is just railing on you. We look at it that way. But you know, it doesn't say where the hurt comes from. He just tells us we're blessed. We're blessed if we continue on faithfully with the Lord. And so I want to set that as a something to think about as we consider continue through this. So this bitterness, oftentimes in the church. So thinking of this line here, you are not a victim, but rather you are in the school of God. This thought is coming from the side of you're a believer, you're following the Lord, you've been redeemed, and you experience pain. Okay, I'm not talking about from any other angle on this side here right now, but you experience that pain. And my encouragement to us today is that we would consider that you're not a victim. A lot of times we like to take a step back. We like to put a shield around the pain and just like really protect ourselves. We take the victim mentality. Somebody's out to get me. But you're not a victim. You're not a victim. If you're a believer, you're not a victim. You are in the school of God. God is doing something deep in your heart. I want to encourage you to let Him. To let Him. And I say this carefully because it seems like oftentimes when I preach on certain topics, it seems like in the next week or few weeks, I get hit head on with whatever I was preaching about. And so I tremble, but yet I have also experienced the opposite side of, taking the aspect of, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm in the school of God. God is trying to teach me something, and boy, this hurts. Yeah, I want to put a face to the pain. That's what we want to do as people. We want to put a face to it. That brother said that, and that hurt. That sister did that, and all the pain. We want to put a face to it. And that's how we as in our human nature, we do that. But if we take the victim mentality, we will do that. But if we don't, and then we'll say, Lord, what do you have for me? I'm in your school. I'm willing to learn. Probably what got me thinking really deep about it was I actually had a brother. He's not from this area. I was talking to him, and we was talking about a certain topic. And when that topic come in, later in the conversation, he said, that hurts, doesn't it? He just looked at me and said, that really hurts you, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, it hurt, but that's all right. It's fine. He said, no, it's not fine. He said, it was just him and I there. He said, no, Noah is hurt by it. And that hit me, and I'm like, I think he's right. And that's when I took a real deep, honest look at the victim mentality and said, you know what? And he encouraged me that we're not victims. We're not. And so that was an inspiration to me. And I want to just encourage us to take a look at life that way. If we do the victim mentality, then we just keep a face on people and we really shield ourselves versus just embracing what God has for us. And I'm not saying that if you know that person over there is going to cause you pain every time you go there, I'm not saying run there. I don't. I have this passage in Scripture that says if someone smites you in the one cheek, turn the other also. I think if you look at it in its context, he's not saying if you get smacked in the left cheek, just turn the right one and say, here, you want this one too? He's giving you the context. If you get hit on one side and you're not received, turn around and walk away from the situation. Don't just sit there and keep escalating it. And so if you know there's pain there and it's a constant thing, be careful about it, but you don't have to always walk into that. However, when it comes your way, don't resist it. Just allow God to do a work because some of God's deepest work is in the face of pain. And we need to embrace it. So going on here, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently and lest any man fail the grace of God. So there's a couple things that happen here when we're bitter. One is you fail the grace of God. You don't look to God. As Zachary shared this morning, you don't wait on the Lord. You don't get renewed in strength, but you fail it and you say, no, this is no. And you put a face to pain and you don't let God do a work. Because the Word of God tells us that His grace is sufficient for us. There's enough there. It's more than enough for us to pull through as victors and bring glory to His name. Another thing that happens here in this verse is bitterness takes root. Bitterness takes root. It starts growing. And then another thing that happens in this verse is as it springs up, it troubles you. And so those flocks that I was talking about, when you plant those things and they start really taking over and you pick and pick and pick and you think you got them all and they trouble you. They show up in various places. They grow. They spread. And then after that, another thing happens is after you've been troubled, many are defiled. That thing goes. Because I got hurt. I had this happen. Did you know that he did this to me? Did you know that? And now all of a sudden this brother and this brother no longer get along because he didn't even experience the pain I did. But because I defiled him. It defiles many. So where does this come from? Where does bitterness come from? It comes from a heart that's been hurt. A heart, and sometimes it can come from an envious heart. A heart that really wants something and is bitter because it can't have it. I actually think of Ahab. And they go get it until at any cost. We can inflict ourselves by not walking uprightly and then find ourselves bitter. Joe Ash he made a comment today. I wrote it down. Simple obedience always pays off instead of rationalizing. And you know, if we just walk in simple obedience to God instead of rationalizing and finding ourselves over here struggling, and pretty soon our hearts overwhelm, things happen and we get bitter. We get bitter. That's a self-inflicted because we didn't follow the Lord. And another thing that often happens when we're bitter, we don't usually see it. Usually we don't see it. You have to let God or someone point it out to you. And God will do that in the quietness. If you meet with the Lord in quietness, He'll do that. But we often justify why I am living the way I am because someone or something in my life, it's not my fault. It's always someone out there. It's never here. There's always this smoke screen. And then if we address this, it's another one. Never me. And so I want to encourage us that if we find ourselves offended and bitter, you need to deal with you. You need to be honest with you. Those of you that have experienced the new birth, and you've experienced that complete freedom, that peace and that rest, that joy. You remember how that was when you met the Lord? Wasn't that an awesome feeling? Like the weight, the burden of your sin, your guilt was just gone. Was that not an awesome experience? Bitterness takes that experience away. Bitterness brings a heaviness. It brings a weight. And I want to encourage us that if you're missing the joy and the peace of God, just check and see if there's something there. And I'm only sharing this because of what I've experienced in my own heart. And there are things that, where does it come from? It can come self-inflicted. It can come from an envious heart, from a heart that's been hurt. It also can come from a brother or sister that said that or did this, but it's been hurt, but it physically comes from another person. But you know, to justify ourselves is not going to bring fruit and will never prosper. It can come from this gossip. Gossip, it comes from our mouth. You know, gossip is such a beautiful tool of the devil. He can use it to destroy most churches in one way or another. I say beautiful, but I don't mean it that way. But it's an opportunity that works well. Because we all have a mouth. We all have emotions. And when we get hurt, we talk. Instead of going to the Lord or seeking quiet counsel, we talk. And sometimes our emotions are fired up. We lash out. And we usually don't do it to the person. We do it to multiple other people. And we create a lot of strife. Gossip is a tool of the devil that brings much hurt to others. It works to destroy many lives. And bitterness is often a result of it. It can be bitterness in the heart of the person that's bringing it forward. But it also can create bitterness in the person that's been pained. Gossip. It's a deadly, deadly weapon. And it's a sin, and we're forbidden to do it. Gossip will kill the life. James tells us that it's impossible a body of fresh water to bring forward salt water. It's impossible for something bitter and sweet to come out of the same fountain. It's impossible. And so in our lives, let's take inventory. What's coming out? What am I harboring? That do I have that feeling of that rising up on certain situations? Those are things that are bitter. It's not sweet. And I'm not saying that we don't go through seasons and times. We're tempted. Christ was tempted in all points like we are. And yet, he was victorious. Think about an opportunity to be bitter. Forsaken by every one of his disciples at a very crucial moment when he needed support. Think about it. He was tempted in all points. So if he was tempted in all points, then he was full of emotion. He could feel that. It was real to him. So let's not make excuses for life in being bitter, but let's be honest. You know, our words can be very weighty at times. We know that not everyone is as sensitive as they should be. And I know I have not always been either. But I've been learning. I've been learning and continuing to learn that the words that we speak, there's a lot of weight there. Maybe they don't feel very heavy when they just flop out of our mouth. But whoever they landed on, sometimes they're like, oh, I can barely stand under that one. That hurt pretty bad. And they go home and nurse that wound, that thing grows. Bitterness. Bitterness is unforgiveness. We're not willing to forgive someone. There are things that happen that are wrong. There are injustices in life. But you know, if we are pilgrims and strangers passing through, are we promised a just journey through here, never to be wronged? That's never a promise for us. We're not promised wealth. We're not promised anything except for peace and rest and safety in the Lord Jesus. These things are wrongs, but yet, if we don't fail the grace of God, we will find strength to be an overcomer even in the face of pain. The real problem is, with bitterness, is, as one man put it, he says, it's unresolved anger, allowing anger to fester rather than dealing with it. It's resentment, holding on to grudges and hurts from past experiences. Unforgiveness, refusing to forgive those who have wronged you. Perceived injustice, feeling that one's rights have been violated. Replaying past wrongs, repeatedly thinking about someone else's sin or a painful situation. I thought that was fairly well put, because that is usually what drives us to bitterness. That's usually the outcome of bitterness, is that's where it grows. That's the fruit of it. And that's why it exists. There's unresolved anger. There's resentment. There's unforgiveness. There's a perceived injustice. Then we replay the past wrongs. There are things that happen in life that I'm not going to say that if you forgive someone that you actually forget what he done. Is there anybody here that says that they have forgiven people that have really pained them and they do not remember it at all? I haven't experienced that. I still remember the pain. Okay, I remember the wrong, but I don't hold it against him. But I found grace to not hold it against him. I found a release to say, you know what, I've forgiven that brother. And how he wants to walk with the Lord is going to be up to him. But I'm not going to hold him in that place. He's not going to hold me in this weight is not going to be on me. I'm going to be free. I'll pray for him. Bible says, Jesus says, to pray for those that despitefully use you. Think about it. We often think about that as something coming from persecution from outside the church. But oftentimes, in today's society, today's time, a lot of our pain happens within the church. And I'm using that term pretty loosely, because if somebody's flippantly causing pain, I question whether you're part of the church. You might be within these walls, but God's looking at it and saying, that's not part of the church. You're not part of my kingdom, even though maybe you're sitting inside the room. A lot of times pain comes for us inside. What does it do? It kills. It crowds out space for life. Just like those flocks, they quickly take over. There's no room for anything else to grow. We got this. This is our space. That's what bitterness does. It keeps everything covered, and it doesn't let anything else grow in here. It crowds out space for life. And as a believer, you find yourself reading verses that support you, where you can get a little courage, and why you feel that you can take this stand because of that such a hurt. You find yourself doing those things. And I just want to encourage us that Jesus Christ, he went to the cross to not forgive us a little bit. Not to hold us at arm's length just a little. But even while we were yet sinners, he went to the cross and died for us. He shed his blood for us. Did we repent while before he? No. It says while we were yet sinners. We were yet in sin, he did this. And so this person that causes the pain, he or she's never come to the place of asking you for forgiveness. That's okay. That's okay. Jesus Christ, he took the first step and he offered that forgiveness. He says, if you want to believe in me, you're free. He offered that. And for us, we can take that first step and just release that person. Lord, just like you forgave me, I'm not going to hold this against that person no more. Even though this thing really, really hurt. I've been told some really, really hard things. I won't tell you them. I won't repeat them. But I've been told some really, really hard things. I have an opportunity to either hold on to that. I remember it. But today, that brother and I, we fellowship. There's never been an apology for that. I don't hold it against him. I rejoice in that because of a work God did in my heart, okay? I glory in that because of my own strength. No, I hold that against you. That's what I would do. But I found grace in the Lord Jesus to find strength to forgive. And realizing also a very sobering thought to unforgiveness, bitterness. And what it does is it kills. But Jesus says in Matthew 6, the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he goes through that prayer and then he says that we should forgive others. I lost the wording of that. Somebody can quote it. Go ahead. Yes. He tells us to forgive men their trespasses. And if we don't, then the Father in heaven will not forgive us. So he gives us a very clear, very, very clear direction. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is what Jesus tells him. And then he goes on, two verses later, he says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See how sobering that is, bitterness, to hold on to a root of that, just a little root. We find unforgiveness in our own lives. It kills life. Bitterness destroys other people. It defiles other people. As just like that root system grows on those flocks, you tell others they're no longer innocent. Now they've got emotions and feelings involved. Now maybe they dislike the person that they never had a problem with just because of your problem. This is all sin. It's all sin, and it keeps creeping up wider and wider. Destruction of relationships. It fragments people's lives and poisons relationships. Manifestation of negative behaviors come out when there's bitterness. Bitterness can lead to negativity, irritability, and harsh words. And then there's internal corrosion, as one man put it. The mental and emotional state that can corrode or eat away at a person. All that leads to death. There's no life in it. And then as it continues on, it can lead to apostasy, where people are no longer holding the faith in a good conscience. They've made shipwreck. So let's just consider, if there's bitterness in our hearts and lives, let's remember, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. You're in the school of God. God wants to do something deep in your heart. Question is, will you let him? Will you let him? Or are you going to maintain the victim mentality? I've been wrong. Will you be free and say, God, you can do that work, but be merciful. This hurts. It's okay to tell him that. But you need to embrace it. That's where freedom is going to come from. Be honest. If you've been at fault, you've got to take ownership. If you don't take ownership, then you just point out there and you point at everyone else. It's never your fault. Bitterness is a driver. You won't prosper and you hinder the prosperity of other people's spiritual walk. There's healing. There's healing if we're honest and we embrace God and what he's doing in simple obedience, follow him. Offer forgiveness for those pains. Pray for those that are despitefully using you. Even if they name the name of the Lord Jesus, it's a wrong in their part. Despitefully using, misusing people. And often as Christians, I say it carefully, as Christians, that's done with our words or our actions. Jesus tells us to return good for evil. In Hebrews 12:15 again, this verse has a pointer on how to combat bitterness. I want to give us a few points on just combating bitterness, to not give in to it, not be overcome by it. And if you are, deal with it. Just get that peace and freedom from God again. in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God. And the encouragement that I have here in this verse is to look diligently. Take a serious look at really, where am I? Really, what is this? What am I sensing? Why is that rising up always happening? There's sometimes you see wrong going on and it's not even directly towards you. And you're like, that's wrong. That rising up is different than, you know, the one I'm talking about. That one that's like, oh, there's Joash. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. But that rising up inside, I want to encourage us to be honest, to look diligently deep in here. Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. We want to be free. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. So often people don't want to come clear of sin because we're afraid we're going to look like a fool in front of everybody, right? When people come clean of sin, to the saints, we're rejoicing. You never look like a fool. But to the world, yeah, they make you look like a fool. But you're going to be the fool when you stand before God and you're trying to justify bitterness. You're going to be the one that's going to be the fool there, not here. And so I want to encourage you, be free. Just be free. Look diligently. Another way to combat bitterness, somebody wrongs you and hurts you. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so as things happen to us, if we take the route that we're going to pray for those that hurt us, we take the route that we're going to follow peace with all men, we're going to do our part. Even if they don't want it there, that's fine. But we're free here. We take that route and we make that person's salvation to the Lord a big deal to us. We take it to Him in prayer. We'll find that in here, we actually have compassion. We feel bad for that person because they don't realize what they're doing. Acts 20:31 is this being diligent, and Paul is calling people to... He was warning people. And in this context, he was warning of wolves coming in. And I want to encourage us that bitterness is a snake that's coming in. Wolves come in, people come in, they create all kinds of havoc. I want to just warn us today to be wary of wolves. The devil, he goes around like a lion. He also is represented as a snake. And there's many of them out there. So be watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful for them things that come your way, and they're actually the devil trying to get in. Just be watchful. Like, no, that's going to hurt. And if I let it, that's going to go deep. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. He's not going to overthrow me like that. Be watchful. Paul says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Be watchful. Warn others. So if we stay active in that side and prayerful for those that hurt us, we are less likely to be overcome by bitterness. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Israel is an example of Israel being overthrown in the wilderness. And he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so I want to encourage us that God, He is merciful, even though He allows things to come our way. I remember going through some very difficult times, and I was at the end. I was like, Lord, I can't take any more. I'm done. And a thought crossed my mind. He says, He don't let us take more than what we can handle. And I thought, praise the Lord, I'm about done here because I can't take any more. God is merciful. He will make a way out. We don't have to give in, even though there's pain, even though there's temptation there. He makes a way out that we can bear what comes our way. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Be like men, grow up, be strong, stand fast in the faith, and do it all with love. That's a different heart than one that says, I'm a victim. I've been misused. I've been taken advantage of. No, the other heart says, yep, I've been misused, but I choose to forgive you because God forgave me. I choose to not hold that against you because I want to be free. And I don't want you being bound by me. I want to grow up and be strong as men. That's what it says here in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. Colossians 4, 2. Another good way to combat bitterness is to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, it's pretty hard to be bitter when you're praying and giving thanks. It's just kind of hard to. A heart of thankfulness. It's hard to let it be bound with bitterness and be thankful at the same time. Did you ever pray for someone and hate them at the same time? Kind of hard to do that. I'm saying with charity in your heart, with a heart of love and compassion, pray for someone and hate them at the same time. Did Jesus pray for them? Jesus said to pray for them which despitefully use you. If we do, we can be clear that with the Lord, and we can prosper. Pray for them that they can prosper. Have a sincere heart. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Actually, it's a number of verses here, but it says, here it's giving us a heart posture to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. God, this situation hurts, and I humble myself. I'm going to embrace it. You're letting it come my way for a reason. And Lord, help me. Help me through it. Help me come through. That you're not failing your grace, but finding myself strong in it under your mighty hand. And God, in due time, he says, we cast our care on him, and in due time, he's going to lift us out of that dark, hard, difficult time. He's going to lift us up, lift us out. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to stay there. But he tells us to be sober and to be vigilant because the adversary, the devil, is going around and he's trying to get in. He's trying to get in. He's trying to destroy everyone that he can. But he calls us to resist him, being steadfast in the faith. Because he says here that, but the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, we often just don't look at difficult times as God doing something in our heart and life. As God wanting to make us perfect, he's wanting to establish us, he's wanting to ground us, he's wanting to get us so we're settled, he's wanting to strengthen us. We don't often look at it that way. I don't. Most of the time when pain happens, my first thought, ooh, I recoil and I'm like, whoa. And sometimes it takes me a few days of just reeling through this thing before I'm like, no. No, in here I'm wrong. I got to deal with this thing. Wherefore, here's another way to combat bitterness. And this, another way to combat it would be in James 1, 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, bitterness is wrath, it's anger, it's unforgiveness. But if we're slow, if we're quick to hear and we're slow to speak, and then we will be slow for wrath. I was thinking of slow to speak. So some of us, we can come to conclusions pretty quick. Like, yeah, I would just do this here just like that there. I mean, you're not in the middle of a situation. It's not even a big situation, but if I was... faced with this, this is what I would do. And we were just having a discussion the other evening, and a few of us men sitting around, and one brother said, yeah, I mean, if it was me, that's what I would do. But listen, I'm not there yet. And so since the thing doesn't really matter if I make a call this way or that way, I'm just going to learn when I get there, I guess, if I get there. He just refused to call judgment on the brother that took it this way or the one that took it that way and he was taking it this way, because it wasn't a sin issue. But I just appreciated that as being swift to hear and slow to speak. Just like, let's just be careful. Our words are weighty. Our words are weighty, and sometimes even in insignificant matters, we can say things, and to the person that maybe does that or does this, and doesn't really matter, it hurts. Those little things are, it's amazing that the little things that don't often matter, the devil drives home the hardest and tries to get his wedge. Just remember, unforgiveness, bitterness, it's anger, it's wrath. And it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if we got anger and unforgiveness in our hearts, we can't be working the righteousness of God. There's a wall there for us. There's a wall for us. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's a different heart posture than one that's angry, one that's unforgiving. But rather it's receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I already touched that portion. But when we return good for evil, it does change the way we look at things. Remember, you're not a victim, but you're in the school of God. You're not a victim, but you're in the school of God. Extend forgiveness just as God forgave you. Now, he tells us here I think it's in verse 31 of Ephesians 4. He talks about, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. He says, put it away from you. It's not part of your life anymore. You need to become this other person that I want you to be. Put on. He wants you to put on those things of God. Be ye kind one to another. This is the next verse. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I want to leave us with those thoughts coming from the aspect of being offended and holding bitterness in our hearts. Let's be free, because a life in freedom here, even though life may be difficult, we're not promised a life of ease and pleasure, but rather we can experience the peace and rest of God that will far outweigh any pleasures that we can get in life, any justification, any satisfaction that we can get by holding on to that hurt in life. They outweigh that. That freedom outweighs the bitterness, the bondage of it. And I want to, you know, I spoke largely from the aspect of being bitter. One thing I know for a fact that makes people bitter is when we talk, we say things, even things that we don't even know a lot of details about. We heard a little bit, we repeat it, and boy, we just run that thing. Those things hurt. Those things hurt, and they do not minister life. They don't. I know of many people that have been hurt by words that Christians have said. And today, I don't know that they're walking with the Lord. Is that an excuse for them? No, it's not. Because they've allowed themselves to be bitter. They are going to have to reckon with that. But you know, friends, those words we spoke, We're going to reckon with them. Those don't just go unnoticed by the Lord. Gossip isn't something that he just sweeps it under the rug. Not a big deal. It's something he's going to deal with. There's a price to pay. We need to be free. Slander, whispering, backbitings, that's all gossip. It all fits right in there. If you don't have anything good to say anything about anyone, my mom always told us, then don't say anything at all. That's still a very good motto, because those are words you won't have to answer for. Some people say, well, if you feel it in here, you might as well say it. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not the same thing. Yes, if you have bitterness in here and you're not saying anything, God's going to deal with you, yes. But it's different than when you're lashing out and railing, carrying on about things, when you could just take some time. Even though those feelings are in here and you're taking time thinking, sorting through. Now look who's affected by it. You get through. You get clean. Look who's affected by it. Nobody but you. Nobody. Nobody has had to deal with that but just you. You open your mouth, now others had to deal with it. That root of bitterness is spreads. And so I want to just encourage us. I want to encourage us. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything. You'll be better off in the long run. Because God is not winking at us when we are destroying people's lives. Maybe it's all in whatever you want to put a label on. I don't really care. Because God doesn't put labels on it either. The only label he puts on, the only label he's going to put on one of those things is he's going to put this label right here on it. It's called sin. Unless repented of, there's a payment. It's that simple. It's not that difficult. There's many people have chosen the wrong path because we flippantly use our mouths. I want to encourage us. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. Now that's a model that we could use for our lives. Taking heed to our tongue, to our ways, taking heed to our ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. There is many psalms, many proverbs. Set a watch, O Lord. Set a watch over my mouth. My lips, set a watch there, Lord. Help me to analyze the words that are going to come out. Because our words can minister life, and they can minister death. We can encourage people, we can discourage people. And I want to encourage us, take an account. Take responsibility for the words that are coming out of your mouth. How flippant they fly out, how careless they are. What do they minister? Because if we are creating difficulties in people's lives, who's using us? Which camp is using us? If I by my mouth am discouraging people, if I by my mouth am slandering people and spreading falsehood and whatever else, if I'm doing that, which kingdom is using me? I claim to be a Christian. Tough answer? The reason it's a tough answer for us is because we live in a society of Christians. People can do and say and live how they want to, and they're Christians, and we have a hard time discerning sometimes. But just be honest. If the enemy is using us, deliberately we're letting him, that's the enemy's camp. We just need to repent. We need to get clear. Because God doesn't want us destroying people's lives. He wants us to build them up. And so I want to encourage us. Let's be careful with our words. But also, those of us that have struggled with the aspect of bitterness, let's be free. You can be free today. You don't need to. That face that comes to you, That face that's attached to pain, you can let it go. You don't have to attach it with pain. Yeah, your memory's still there. You know that happened. But I can walk up to Brother Mark, and that used to be the face of pain, and I can bless him. Fellowship, and it doesn't even come up. He never was the face of pain. I'm just giving it as an illustration. We can get there. God wants us there. And so I want to encourage us. Let's be free. Be free. And you're not a victim. You're in the school of God. What's God going to teach us? Lord bless you all.